ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर रीडिंग टुडे फ्रॉम द 16th चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द डिवाइन एंड द डेमोनियक नेचर्स, टेक्स्ट नंबर 23। सो प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। यः शास्त्रविदिम् उत्सृज्य वर्तते कामकारतः न स सिद्धिम् अवाप्नोति न सुखं न परं गतिम्। यः शास्त्रविदिम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ट्रांसलेशन। He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. This board just make it. Purport. As described before, the Shastra Vidhi or the direction of the Shastra is given to the different castes and orders of human society. Everyone is expected to follow those rules and regulations. If one does not follow them and act whimsically according to his lust, greed and desire, then he never will be perfect in his life. In other words, a man may theoretically know all these things, but if he does not apply them in his own life, then he is to be known as the lowest of mankind. In the human form of life, a living entity is expected to be sane and to follow the regulations given for elevating his life to the highest platform. But if he does not follow them, then he degrades himself. But even if he follows the rules and regulations and moral principles and ultimately does not come to the stage of understanding the Supreme Lord, then all his knowledge becomes spoiled. And even if he accepts the existence of God, if he does not engage himself in the service of the Lord, his attempts are spoiled. Therefore, one should gradually raise himself to the platform of Krishna consciousness and devotional service. It's then and there that he can attain the highest perfectional stage, not otherwise. The word karataha is very significant. A person who knowingly violates the rules acts in lust. He knows that this is forbidden, but still he acts. This is called acting whimsically. He knows that this should be done, but still he does not do it. Therefore, he is called whimsical. Such persons are destined to be condemned by the Supreme Lord. Such persons cannot have the perfection which is meant for the human life. The human life is specially meant for purifying one's existence. And one who does not follow the rules and regulations cannot purify himself, nor can he attain the real stage of happiness. Yaha shastra vidim utsrijya vartate kama karataha na sa siddhim avapnoti na sukam na param gatim. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. So I welcome all of you to this evening session on the Bhagavad Gita. So this particular chapter, the divine and demoniac natures, the Lord explains to Arjuna the behavior of a human being who is displaying these two types of natures, the divine and the demoniac. And in this particular verse, the Lord is speaking about a person who acts whimsically. The purpose of Krishna consciousness is to ensure that we discipline our lives. This is a very, very important aspect. If we want to make advancement in our spiritual life. For that matter, anything in life which we do, unless and until there is discipline, we will not be able to make any progress. For example, even when we as children are students, there is a necessity for discipline. It's not that schools begin at a particular on any particular time and end at any particular time. The school bell rings at a particular time. Right? I remember when I was in school, it used to be 8:20 in the morning. By 8:20, you have to be in your classroom. Right? First, there used to be a bell at 8:10. Then there would be a bell at 8:15. And the last and the final bell would be at 8:20. And if you're not in the classroom by 8:20, you would have to go home. Right? There was no question of you attending class that day. Very politely, the teacher would come and tell you that, my dear son, it's good for you to take a holiday today. Right? So, we would all go home and there would be disciplining at home. Right? There would be somebody at home to discipline us. That our parents would ask, what's happened? You know, then we would explain why we didn't reach the school on time and this happened, that happened. So right from our childhood, we are trained to be disciplined. Right? And unless and until in our spiritual lives we are disciplined, we'll be able to see for ourselves that we don't make any real tangible progress. Which is our progress in our spiritual life is unlike what we do in our material life. Right? In our material life, we are disciplined to do so many things at a particular time. Right? We have to get up at a particular time. And particularly in Bombay, we have to catch a particular train. Right? Each and every one of us who are working. Right? If we don't catch a particular train, then we are not going to reach the office in time. Right? So our lives are disciplined to that extent. But in our sojourn through the spiritual path, since our endeavors in our spiritual path is voluntary, there is nobody to force us to do what we are supposed to do. And it is up to us whether we want to be making advancement or not. Unless and until we are disciplined, for sure, spiritual advancement would be very, very difficult. And for that reason, we see that Srila Prabhupada has made this whole morning program in a very disciplined way. The deities are woken up at a particular time. There is Mangalarti at a particular time. There is Shringar Darshan at a particular time. Prasadam is served at a particular time. So all these activities, even in spiritual life, because we are not accustomed to disciplining ourselves, there are timings that are made for various activities in order to ensure that we are disciplined. Right? So, devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness seriously, they come for the morning program at a particular time. So, in fact, most of the devotees here in this temple come for the morning program before the curtain opens. It's before 5 o'clock in the morning. Right? And then you are able to and then you're able to really relish when the curtain opens and you're seeing the first darshan of the Lord. There is such a transformation in the heart. Such a wonderful feeling of ecstasy comes into your heart. So this is a requirement for us not to act whimsically. Right? And in this particular shloka, Lord says that a person who acts whimsically does not get happiness in this life. Right, so this is such a very powerful words to indicate how important it is for us to be disciplined. And further in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that a person who does not render service to the Lord, even though he may understand everything about the scriptures, right, there are so many people who understand so many things about the scriptures, but unless and until they do not render direct service to the Lord, his whole life is spoiled. That means he has not understood the goal of life. He has understood everything about the scriptures. He knows who is God. He knows who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But yet, he does not engage himself in positive devotional service. So such a person, Srila Prabhupada says, for him, his whole life is spoiled. And today is a very auspicious day. It's the appearance of the Lord in a very, very wonderful form. So let us discuss this particular pastime of the appearance of the Lord and try to connect it to those words of the Lord in this Bhagavad Gita and learn a few lessons from this particular pastime, which is very, very instructive. So the Lord appears in this particular form. It's a very unique form of a boar. Now, normally boars are what we popularly call as pigs. The common terminology for a boar is a pig, right? Which is a very insulting terminology, right? When you call a person a pig, right? If it's any self-respecting person, he will immediately retaliate. Either he will give you a knock on your nose, or he'll give you some bad words himself, right? So this means that a pig is a very derogatory animal. It's a very low animal, right? And yet the Lord appears in the form of a pig. So why does the Lord do that? So the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually the essence of all the scriptures, this particular pastime is narrated. So just to summarize, it so happened that Swayambhu Manu, who was the main Prajapati, the main person who was empowered by Lord Brahma, he was a son of Lord Brahma, to create the population of this world. Swayambhu Manu was once very much disturbed because the whole planet Earth was put into the Garbhodak ocean. And because he was disturbed, he was meditating on Lord Brahma, his father, who is also his spiritual master. So when we are in difficulty, or when we are not knowing what to do in any situation in our life, the first person whom we have to approach is our spiritual master. And the Lord himself says this in the Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevayam upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina stattva darshina. That we have to approach a bona fide spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service to him. Right? So every person in this world has to have a bona fide spiritual master. Because a bona fide spiritual master is the person who will reveal to us the goal of life. If we want to understand the mystery of who we are and what is the purpose of this human form of life, then the only person who will be able to answer these questions for us will be our spiritual master. Right? Unfortunately, the subjects which ought to be taught in the universities are not taught. You're taught so many subjects like biology and chemistry and physics and mathematics and so on. But which is the most important subject that a person should ever be taught of. Right? What is the goal of this human form of life? Unfortunately, is not being taught in any university. But a spiritual master will be able to explain to us what is the goal of the human form of life. So Swayambhu Manu was praying to his father, who also was a spiritual master, to please reveal to him what he should do in such a circumstance. And one would have thought that Lord Brahma, being the creator, would have the answer. Right? But here in this case, even Lord Brahma did not have the answer. So Lord Brahma in turn started meditating on Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now again, this is the lesson for us, that if the spiritual master is not able to help us in our spiritual lives, then it is necessary for us to seek the shelter of the Lord. And if you are genuinely at the bottom of the heart trying to surrender to Him, then He will reveal to us the solutions or the answers to all our questions. So in this particular case, Lord Brahma started meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. And as he was meditating, from his nostrils came a very tiny object. Now this object was as small as the tip of the thumb. But it was a full-sized form of a boar. And right in the front of the eyes of Lord Brahma, this particular animal started expanding itself. And it became so huge that it covered the whole universe. It was such a massive form. And right in the front of the eyes of Lord Brahma, this boar dived into the Garbhodak ocean. If you see a pig, particularly if you go to a place like Goa, which has a huge population of pigs, you will see them that their main activity throughout the day is burrowing into the mud. Right? With their snout, their face is also made in such a way that they can burrow into the ground. Right? So in this particular case, the Lord takes this form. Jai Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. So the Lord took this particular form of a boar just so that he could dive into the ocean. And the Mother Earth, which was there in the ocean, the Lord placed her on his snout, in between his tusks, and lifted her and placed her on top of the Garbhodak ocean. And just at that time, one very great demon by the name Hiranyaksha, who was trying to challenge the Lord to fight with him, approached him for war or for a battle. And actually this Hiranyaksha, there's a very nice pastime also, which we will discuss a little bit later. The birth of Hiranyaksha is also very, very instructive. But we will discuss it a short while from now. So Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were two brothers. They were twin brothers. Hiranyakashipu was the elder brother and Hiranyaksha was the younger brother. So Hiranyaksha, because he was a younger brother, he wanted to render service to his brother, Hiranyakashipu. So with his mace, he was traveling all over the world, seeking people whom he could defeat and make them servants of his brother, Hiranyakashipu. So in pursuit of this, first he goes to Indraloka. And he challenges, with the intention of challenging Lord Indra. But Lord Indra, just by knowing that Hiranyaksha is coming, hid himself, went into hiding. And Hiranyaksha was very much frustrated. So, thinking who is the next best person he could fight with, he dives into the ocean to go and fight with Lord Varuna, Varundev. And then he goes to Varuna and then falls at the feet of Varuna in mock humility, you know, as if he's very humble. And then pleads with him, please, please give me an opportunity to fight with you. And Varuna, looking at him, he was so disgusted, because only when a person is very, very proud does he behave like this. He has so much of ego, thinking that I am so superior. His behavior was so obnoxious. So Varuna looked at him complete contempt and told him that, my dear sir, I am a very old man. What's the use of you fighting with me? Definitely you will defeat me. But the one person who will really be able to give you battle, you should go and seek him out. And he will give you a full opportunity to fight. And not only will he fight with you, for sure he will kill you. And your body will be fed to the dogs. So Hiranyaksha asked him, who is this person who can fight with me like this? And then Varuna told him that Lord Vishnu is a person who can fight with you. And Hiranyaksha immediately turned his back to Varuna and started going around searching for Mahavishnu. And he goes into the Garbhodha Koshan, and just at that time, he sees Lord Boar, Lord Vishnu in the form of a boar, bringing the earth, Mother Earth, on her snout. And then Hiranyaksha in a very loud voice, now all this is happening inside the water. So Hiranyaksha in a very loud voice challenges the Lord to battle. Now the Lord was doing a particular activity. The Lord had come there for trying to serve or save Mother Earth. So he did not pay any attention to what Hiranyaksha was shouting. And Hiranyaksha was challenging him, come, just come and fight with me. I want to fight with you. But the Lord was so much focused on his service. Now this is another very important instruction for us to understand. That whatever we may be doing in Krishna consciousness, we have to do it with full attention and full focus. Whether we are chanting the holy names of the Lord or whether we are reading the scriptures, any activity that we are doing in Krishna consciousness, which is a direct service to the Supreme Lord, we have to ensure that we are doing it with complete determination and focus. So the Lord was teaching us how important it is that here he is, he set out on a particular mission to try and save Mother Earth. So although Hiranyaksha was challenging him, the Lord did not pay any heed. And Hiranyaksha was shouting, saying that, why are you a coward? Why are you running away from me? Stop and fight with me. But the Lord paid no heed and just continued on his destination. Again, sometimes it happens that we as devotees, when you are practicing Krishna consciousness, so many people come and tell us, why are you wasting your time? Why are you doing all these activities? You should be actually really earning more money. Why are you wasting your time? What you're doing is not productive. Particularly when we go out preaching, and we meet people when we are traveling in a train, when we are going for yatras, we meet people in the train and we are trying to tell them about Krishna consciousness. And invariably they ask us this question, what are you people doing? What are you people up to? Why are you wasting your time? Why can't you be doing something more constructive like earning money or going and serving the poor? And we are called cowards. We want to escape. We are escapists. We try to escape from society. We are escaping from our responsibility. But actually, giving Krishna to others is the responsibility of each and every one of us. They don't realize that. Because that is the most important activity that we are supposed to do. What is the use of earning all the money in this world when at the end of our lifetime in this particular body, we have to leave everything behind? People, if only they realize that this human form of life is so short, barely adequate for us to try and understand Lord Sri Krishna. Barely enough. Just one lifetime is just maybe what, 40, 50, 60 years. And yet, they waste this whole lifetime in the pursuit of money, in the pursuit of name, fame, glory, prestige. So much of time is being wasted on this mundane pursuits. They are actually the cowards running away from reality. Because what is reality? The reality is death. They don't want to accept that they are going to die. They are trying to mold their life in such a way that somehow or the other they want to think that they are never going to die. But the reality is, sooner or later, we are going to die. And a devotee, understanding this, wants to reach out to the to each and every one in this world and tell them that please wake up. You are sleeping on the lap of this witch called Maya. Please, make Krishna the Lord of your life. Forget about his endeavor to make money, it is futile. Forget about his endeavor to earn name, fame, glory, it is futile. So this is what the devotees are telling the people. And yet we are called cowards. So this was exactly what Hiranyakashipu was telling the Lord, that you are a coward, why are you running away? So anyway, the Lord placed the Mother Earth on the top of the Garbhodak ocean and then challenged Hiranyaksha to fight. And there was such a big battle between Hiranyaksha and the Lord. And ultimately, Hiranyaksha resorted to so many illusions. When he could see that he could not defeat the Lord, he started, because he was also, he was a demon, so he had all these mystical powers. So he was creating so many mystical objects to come. There was a huge cyclone, and there was rainfall, and there was pus and stool and urine and all this disgusting objects that were being showered from the sky. There were naked demonesses with their hairs flowing the back of their heads, making shrieking noises. And all this, with all this, Hiranyaksha thought that he was actually trying to bewilder the Lord. And Brahmaji was trying to tell the Lord that, my dear Lord, please, before it becomes evening, because evening is a time when the demons become more powerful, right? A truly demoniac person, he actually becomes activated in the evening time, right? And that's how we see that all this pubs and bars and discotheques and cabarets and all this activities which are inhabited by the demons, right? These are the people who visit all these places, the brothels, right? The gambling dens, the pubs. These are the places which are active at night because they become activated at night. So Brahmaji was telling the Lord that, my dear Lord, this demon will become more powerful. So please, do what is necessary to finish him off. And the Lord was playing with this demon just like how a cat plays with a mouse. And then finally, in a very, very indifferent way, when the Lord wants to really exhibit his power, he does it in such a casual way. Now this demon was a huge demon. He was as high as the sky himself and very, very massively built. But the Supreme Lord, the reason why he is supreme is because he behaves in a supreme way. In a very, very indifferent way, he took his pow and hit the demon very, very gently just below his ear. And when the Lord hit the demon like that, the demon crashed down to the ground dead. Now the best part of this is that although the demon was dead, just because he was touched by the Lord, Brahmaji was looking at the body of this demon, Hiranyaksha, but just because he was touched by the Lord, this body did not lose its luster. In fact, it became even more lustrous. And Brahmaji was thinking to himself, how fortunate is this demon to have been killed by the Lord himself? How glorious. So now how did this demon come into being? Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. There's a very beautiful and illustrative story and giving us a lot of lessons to learn also. Now, there was one couple by the name Kashyapa and Diti. Now, Kashyapa was a very great sage. And he was in the forest actually doing meditation, tapasya. And one day, when he was engaged in a samadhi, at that time, his wife, because she had this desire to have children, she started requesting her husband to give her children. But Kashyapa Muni was a very enlightened sage. So he told his wife that this is not the auspicious time. This is not the auspicious time for procreation. Please wait till the time becomes auspicious. And it was evening time, twilight. And twilight is a time when Lord Shiva goes about in the sky with his ghosts and goblins. We are not able to see them. Lord Shiva is beyond our material vision. But that is the time when he is actually circling the whole world. And any activity which is forbidden, if it is carried on at that particular time, Lord Shiva is seeing with his third eye. All of us know that Lord Shiva has got three eyes, right? One eye represents the sun, one eye represents the moon, and the third eye, which is there between his eyebrows, represents the fire. And any activity which is done at a forbidden time is watched by Lord Shiva through his third eye. And if anybody is engaging in any forbidden activity, then Lord Shiva punishes that particular person. How does he punish? It's very interesting. Particularly if you engage in any sexual activity at the time of twilight, all the ghosts and goblins who are accompanying Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva asks one of those ghosts to go into the semen of the father. And this ghost, which does not have a physical body, which is in fact looking for a physical body, because a ghost, Srila Prabhupada explains that how does a person become a ghost? A person becomes a ghost when he commits suicide. Right? So that's why suicide is a very, very unsafe activity. A very, very dangerous activity. If we commit suicide, it means that we are completing or we are finishing off this life when there is no body waiting for us. So then we become a ghost. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this ghosts and goblins, they are waiting for a person who engages in sex during the forbidden time. And if you engage in sex at that particular time and there is a conception, the ghost and this goblin, one of them goes and takes birth in the womb of the woman. And this is exactly what happened in the case of Kashyapa and Diti. So Kashyapa, being a very enlightened sage, he knew this. He knew that Lord Shiva was going about with his ghosts and goblins. And he knew that if we conceive, if we have sex at this particular time, the result is going to be very, very fearful. And yet, because Diti, the mother, she was so much desiring to have a child, that she was not prepared to wait. And exactly, it happened as the scriptures foretell. This particular inauspicious time, two souls that were waiting to take birth in the womb of a mother came into the womb of Diti. And they became the demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So you can understand how important it is for us to be careful not to be carrying out any forbidden activity. For everything, there is an auspicious time and there is an inauspicious time. And particularly when it comes to procreation, when it comes to creating children, the scriptures tell us how, what activity we need to do before we engage in the activity to create children. There is what is called as a Garbhadhan Samskar. We have to chant a certain number of times, certain number of rounds. Srila Prabhupada has given us this requirement that we chant at least 50 rounds before we engage in the activity of procreation. So 50 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra means at least 6 to 7 hours of chanting, which brings us into the right consciousness, because the whole purpose of engaging in this activity of procreation is to create a Krishna conscious child. What we see today is a result of unrestricted sexual activity. So many children who are being born into families in such a demoniac way. Right? Children who have got absolutely no culture, who have got no values in life, who are absolutely demoniac. And we see, you know, just a few meters away from here, right, we have two colleges, thousands of students. What's the behavior? Do they behave like God-fearing children? The only goal for them is sense gratification. How to enjoy life? How is it that I can maximize my enjoyment? This is the only goal. And when we look at them, we understand that these are the children that have been created through activities that have been done at forbidden times without going through the process of purification. So this Garbhadhan Samskar is a samskara, is an activity that we do. Like so many activities which are prescribed in the scriptures. The Vibhava Samskara, the samskara that we undergo at the time of marriage. Right? There is also a samskara when the child naming is done, the naming of the child is done. There are so many samskaras that if we follow them carefully, then we ensure that the child who is coming into this world becomes a devotee of the Lord. Because that is what the society requires today. The society requires devotees, more and more and more of them. Because in Kali Yuga, for every one devotee, there will be thousands of non-devotees. Right? Just imagine in a place like Bombay, which has a population of about, 15 million people? Right? 15, 16 million. Nobody even knows how many people are there in Bombay. Every year, there are so many thousands and thousands of people adding to Bombay. They just come from all over the country. They just come to Bombay because Bombay is a place where you can make money. Right? So in this place, which is having about 15 to 16 million children, or 16 million people, how many devotees are there? Just a few thousand. Maybe 5,000, maybe 10,000 devotees of the Lord. So what is the ratio of devotees to non-devotees? 1,000. One devotee is required to preach to thousands of non-devotees in order to make them also devotees. So the dire need for this world is to have more and more devotees. And unless and until people are regulated in the activities, for sure, we will have Varna Sankara. We will have population which is completely demoniac, which has got absolutely no desire to follow any rules and regulations. They act whimsically. What pleases me, I will do what pleases me now. You know? And people want to make such a bold statement. Nowadays there are t-shirts that advertise, just do it. Right? Just do it. Do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. Right? All of us have seen these t-shirts. You have a big tick mark and then it says, just do it. So that's the mentality. But this is not what is prescribed in the scriptures. One has to act in a manner which is responsible. You have to do those activities which are prescribed and restrain yourself from doing certain activities which are not permitted or prohibited. So this is a fundamental principle towards making advancement in one's spiritual life. So that is why we have four activities which are prescribed and four activities which are prohibited. Alright? So the prohibited activities are no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, and no gambling. So these are four activities that we have to restrain ourselves. We have to stop ourselves from doing. And the four activities that we are required to do are A, B, C, and D. A for association, association of devotees. Whenever we have the time, come to the temple of the Lord, go to the satsang of devotees, go to a program, go to the home of devotees, and get their association. Because that, the place where devotees are assembled together, that is the place which is the safest place in the whole world. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Machita Madgata Prana Bodhayantas Parasparam Katayantas Cha Mam Nityam Tushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha. When devotees of the Lord come together, there's only one thing that they talk about. And that is Krishna. They don't talk about the weather, they don't talk about sports, they don't talk about the stock market. The only thing that they talk about is the weather. It's about Krishna. And they restrain themselves from talking about anything else because it makes no sense. So that's A for association. B is for books. We have the Bhagavad Gita, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam. C is for chanting. We do a prescribed number of rounds every day. At least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In a very, very attentive way. Not that we just chant whimsically, whenever we want. There's again a prescribed time. Srila Prabhupada has taught us that we have to chant our rounds in the morning. First we attend the morning program at 5 o'clock in the morning. We come to the temple, have the darshan of the Lord. And once our mind is completely purified and fresh after taking the darshan of the Lord and singing the morning prayers, worshipping Tulsi Maharani, worshipping Narsingadev Bhagwan, then our mind is fresh and ready for chanting the holy names of the Lord. So from 5:45 in the morning till 7:45 in this temple, we chant for 2 hours the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And in these 2 hours, we chant at least 16 rounds. So C is for chanting and D is for diet. Whatever we eat, just like we are what we associate with, similarly we are what we eat. Our consciousness is dependent upon what ahar we have, what anna we eat, who cooks it. It's not just adequate that we eat food which is vegetarian. Even the cows eat vegetarian food. Even the rabbits eat vegetarian food. Right? So it's not adequate that we just eat plain vegetarian food. Of course, we eat vegetarian food. That is the basic requirement. But we eat vegetarian food which is first offered to the Lord, which is cooked by devotees. We don't eat vegetarian food which is cooked by non-devotees. Because the propensity of grains is to attract the consciousness of the person who cooks it. So food that is cooked by non-devotees has the consciousness of the non-devotees, although it might be vegetarian food. So from a mundane external point of view, that food seems fit to be eaten by us. But because it is cooked by non-devotees, a devotee will not eat it. So the requirement is that the food should be cooked by devotees, it should be offered to the Lord, and then we honor that food. So the devotee eats only food which is offered to the Lord, which is first cooked by devotees. Otherwise what happens? As the Bhagavad Gita explains, a person who eats food which is not offered as a sacrifice to the Lord actually eats sin. Because sin personified goes and sits in food which has not been cooked by devotees and which has not been offered to the Lord. So that is why we are so particular that on Ekadashi days also we ensure that we do not eat any grains. Because on Ekadashi days particularly, grains, even though they may be offered to the Lord, we do not honor them. Because sin personified sits in the grains on Ekadashi day. So as Srila Prabhupada would tell us that the ideal thing to do on Ekadashi day is to fast completely. Even from water. Right? That is the highest standard. To fast on Ekadashi day, even from water. But if you cannot do that, then fast by drinking water. And even if you cannot do that, eat fruits which are offered to the Lord. If you cannot do that, eat Ekadashi Prasad, which is cooked by devotees and offered to the Lord. So Krishna consciousness is a very practical activity. It all depends on our bodily constitution. If our body constitution permits us to fast completely, even from water, that is the highest. But ensure that your service is not affected. We should not become lazy on the guise of saying that today is Ekadashi, I'm fasting, so I'll not do any work. No. On Ekadashi, we actually chant more rounds than what we normally do every day. Because Ekadashi is a very holy day. So we chant extra rounds, we read extra number of hours. Right? So on Ekadashi day, maximum of our activities should be centered around Krishna. As much time as possible, we should spend focusing on Krishna on Ekadashi days. And restrict the demands of the body. So Srila Prabhupada would say that the best thing to do would be to completely abstain from food and water. If possible. Right? We are not fanatical. We don't say that you have to do this. Depending on the condition of our body and our ability to maintain all this, we practice these austerities. The important thing is to chant the holy names of the Lord. The important thing is to read the scriptures. The important thing is to associate with devotees. We are not here to practice austerities for the sake of practicing austerities. Just by merely doing austerities will not take us back home, back to Godhead. Right? But it is necessary for us, as much as possible, to try and restrain the demands of our body on such occasions like Ekadashi, Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima, Nityanand Trayodashi, which is tomorrow. We are going to be fasting for half a day. Right? So on this festival occasion, when we fast, we remember Krishna. Right? Particularly, you know, if we are used to eating three times a day, then it is good for us to fast on certain days. Because then we realize how valuable food is. Right? The value of food becomes more dear to us when we fast. And at those times we realize that there are millions of people in this world who are actually going hungry every day. There are millions of people who get sometimes just one square meal a day. Right? For years they just get one square meal a day. But somehow by the mercy of the Lord, we are so fortunate that we are getting three meals a day. So on the days that we fast, we can realize that there are other people who are actually regularly doing this tapasya of not getting food or clothing or shelter or whatever. Right? We realize the value. We realize the value of our great fortune to be able to afford three square meals a day. Right? How fortunate we are. How lucky we are that Krishna has given us this opportunity whereby we don't have to worry about this basic requirement. Food, clothing and shelter. Krishna has provided all this to us. So let me spend more time on focusing on Krishna. Right? So these are the four activities which we are told to do every day. And abstain from doing these four activities which we are told not to do. Right? So by that, we are doing positive devotional service. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions over here, unless and until we do positive devotional service, there can be no advancement in our spiritual life. Are there any questions? Yes. Giving the mic.
Krishna.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Very nice lecture. Like reading books, Prabhupada books, is like directly associating with like it's like association, like we are in the association of Prabhupada, and you know, like it's like Grantha Bhagavat.
Yes.
Like, you know, there is a Bhagavat, like association with personal, in person and book is non-different.
Yes.
And even I heard like Krishna's book, like Bhagavad Gita, it's non-different from Krishna.
Yes.
Like Srimad Bhagavatam, any Vaishnava literature which describes the qualities of Krishna or pastimes of Krishna, is this identical with Krishna? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because Bhagavad Gita is nothing but the words of the Lord. Right? And who is Arjun? Arjun is you and me. Right? So what Lord Krishna is speaking to Arjuna is actually for your and my benefit. So Arjuna is only an instrument for the Lord to be giving the message of the Bhagavad Gita to us. Right? Because Arjuna is taking on the position of a devotee. Right. He's a friend of Lord Krishna. He's a devotee of Lord Krishna. Right. So, through the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, which are directly narrated to Arjuna, right, if we put ourselves in the shoes of Arjuna, right, we can also get the message of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And what is the Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing about but the pastime of the Lord. So when we read the scriptures, we are actually associating with the Lord directly. So that's why it's so important for us to read the scriptures.
Yeah, but it's very, sometimes, you know, it's very difficult to realize in the association, like, you know, what's the reason? Like, are we covered with the Maya, or we are in the material body? That's the reason. Like the holy name, when we chant the holy name of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it's identical with Krishna. Like when Krishna is personally present over there, he's dancing on his tongue. So sometimes the mind, you know, the mind flickers here and there. You know, then the Lord is here, and we are chanting. But you know, so how to overcome this, and you know, how to realize that Krishna is not different from the holy name.
So that's why Srila Prabhupada has given us a complete process. It's not that we are only chanting the holy names of the Lord. Right? We are associating with devotees, we are reading the scriptures, we are honoring Krishna Prasadam. Right? A, B, C, D, all four have to be done together. So when we do all these activities, then we get purified. Right? If we do not associate with devotees and say that I'll be going to a solitary place and chant, okay, the Lord says that chant the holy names of the Lord. I mean, chant His holy names. And then we go to a solitary place and sit over there and maybe whole day that we chant. What will happen to us? It's a matter of time. We'll just fall down. Right? So when we are following the process, we have to follow the process in totality. We have to do everything as a package. It comes as a package deal. So if you're only associating with devotees but not chanting the holy names of the Lord, again, it's incomplete. We won't be able to make any advancement. Then it becomes just a sentiment that, yes, devotees are very nice people to be with. So come and take darshan of the Lord along with them. But if you're not doing the process of, if you're not following the process of chanting, then that internal purification that is required to be within us is not taking place. Or if you're doing association and you're reading the scriptures and you're chanting, but then you're just eating anything that you come across, you know, you go anywhere and you eat whatever you want, again, it's going to have a very great bearing on your consciousness. So this process is a process in completion. I mean, you have to follow the process entirely. You cannot say that I will just pick up one thing and then not do the others. You have to do all the activities together. And then we will see that we are making advancement in our spiritual lives. So that's why Srila Prabhupada has established the morning program. So right from 5 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock, the whole day schedule, if you see, it's intended that you're doing all these activities, A, B, C, and D. Prabhupada's temple provides facilities for doing all these four activities. A for association, B for books, C for chanting, D for diet. All the four are covered. Right? So he has given us a perfect process. We only have to follow the whole process. Not just take out one. Doing Nirjal Ekadashi on all the Ekadashi days is not going to purify us unless and until we are following the other aspects of Krishna consciousness. Right? We could just be sleeping the whole of Ekadashi day and not eating anything. Does it mean that we are going to make advancement? Right? So that's exactly the reason why we require a spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada is a spiritual master for all of us. And his books, in his purports, he has given all the explanations that are necessary for us to follow in our spiritual lives. So if we read the purports of Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrit, these are instructions for us how to follow, what we need to do in order to make advancement in our spiritual lives. So it's all there. Is it okay? Are there any other questions? We can have Kirtan otherwise. Thank you very much. So tomorrow is also a very, very special day. I would invite all of you to come. It's the appearance day of Lord Nityanand, who is none other than Lord Balaram. So along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityanand Prabhu comes and plays a role as his brother. Right? So we see over here, Gaur Nithai, who are also one of the presiding deities in Sri Radha Gopinath temple. So Nityanand Trayodashi tomorrow. So please come. There would be a program the whole day. We would be having Abhishek in the evening. And there would be a lecture. There'll be Kirtan. And of course, Prasadam in the evening for everybody. So please invite your neighbors, friends, relatives, whoever will be able to come tomorrow and participate in this very, very wonderful festival. It's a very auspicious day tomorrow because Balaram or Lord Nityanand is the original spiritual master, right? So he takes on a very, very significant role as far as we are concerned. So whatever we pray tomorrow to Lord Nityananda, he will fulfill. If from the core of our heart, if you are requesting for something tomorrow to Lord Nityanand, he'll definitely give it to us because tomorrow is his appearance day. So please come, everybody, tomorrow and participate in this very wonderful festival. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.